American Otto Warmbier went to North Korea in 2015. Today, he's dead from a catastrophic brain injury that produced a year-long coma, all suffered while he was in a North Korean prison. Sentenced to 15 years hard labor for attempting to take a political poster. Human Rights Watch issued a statement saying Warmbier's death occurred after he was abused in North Korean custody, a reminder of North Korea's pattern of brutalizing and killing anyone to maintain its hold on power. President Trump, in a short statement, expressed anger. Otto's fate deepens my administration's determination to prevent such tragedies from befalling innocent people at the hands of regimes that do not respect the rule of law or basic human decency. John Sifton is Asia Advocacy Director at Human Rights Watch, and he says that ending up like Otto Warmbier is a consequence of daily life that is brutal, frightening, and where imprisonment can happen without warning.
There's no denying that for any North Korean citizen, life in North Korea is a nightmare. Even if you're at the top of the caste system, you live in a state of terror. It's a totalitarian country in which the government controls almost every aspect of human societal life. And if you cross the government, you will be sent to prison, to a work camp, to a prison camp, to a labor camp. And you quite possibly will die in that camp if you don't follow the rules.
Well, if that is the case, I'm surprised that so many more American that more of them haven't died.
It's very difficult to know what happens, why certain people get arrested. There have been a lot of tourists into North Korea, and many of them come and go. Some of them Americans, some of them Europeans, Asians. But sometimes people get arrested. There are three other American citizens currently imprisoned in North Korea right now. It's not clear what happened, why certain people are arrested and others aren't. It can be on suspicion of spying, or it can be for some trifle, which it appears to have been in this case.
And when you say trifle, I mean it seems as though this young man was just taking a poster possibly for a souvenir. I mean I'm speculating, of course, but to have this happen, I mean catastrophic brain injury is what was the diagnosis in the end. And he was in that condition when he came out of the country.
Yeah, and we still don't know exactly what happened. But what I will tell you is that we know that North Koreans are routinely imprisoned for trifles all the time. Economic crimes, as innocent as just taking part in private enterprise, buying and selling items outside of the state-run economic system, can get you into prison. You can bribe your way out. You can trade sexual favors. You can do a lot of things to avoid it. But the simple fact is you can go to prison for much less than stealing a poster. You can go to prison for refusing to obey a police officer or a teacher or your boss. So it's a very brutal place. It is a totalitarian regime.
Obviously, we must be concerned with the human rights of all, not simply American young men who have this experience and their family in Cincinnati is mourning even as we speak. But nevertheless, the ritualized, it seems, play between North Korea and the United States regarding hostages and, you know, tit for tat and diplomatic favors and little changes in policy that result seems to have gone very much awry here.
North Korea has always been a very, very unreliable diplomatic interlocutor, whether it's on nuclear issues, missile technology, or the new issues, which are its human rights record. I mean, believe it or not, North Korea's human rights record was not a subject of the United Nations debates in the Security Council until very recently. For decades, the nuclear issue predominated and upstaged everything else. But more recently, its human rights record has been debated in the Security Council, in the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva, and it has really freaked out the regime. They are more upset in some ways about the attention to their human rights record than to all of the saber rattling about their nuclear program. And that's been seen when the way that they've shown up at the UN and tried to bargain with the United Nations system. And they failed.
Does China have a position on the question of human rights in North Korea? It's certainly a sensitive issue in China when the U.S. attempts to address it.
Yeah, China is in a very difficult situation because it is complicit in North Korea's human rights abuses because it routinely sends back North Koreans there who try to escape. It also supports North Korea in various ways by being one of its biggest trading – its predominant trading partner. And yet nobody in Beijing wakes up in the morning and wants North Korea to be what it is. It's a thorn in their side and they know it, and they probably wish that it could be far less of a problematic child on their border. So they're in a difficult position. I think what's up to the international community now, and this case illustrates the severity of the situation, is how to get China to put more pressure on North Korea so that they have to pay a price when they violate human rights norms, international norms, or proliferation norms. The price just doesn't seem to be high enough right now. Many countries, not just China, routinely violate the sanctions. It's not just China. Singapore, Nigeria, all these countries are just not paying the price for doing business with North Korea.
Which would be an argument for some kind of U.S. retaliation, whether that's a diplomatic retaliation with all of the countries that you've named, or whether that's something directly retaliating at Kim Jong-un's regime. What would you suggest?
Well, one of the problems with the American international diplomatic and political discourse is that people just view things and you either have diplomacy or you have military action. And that's just not how the world works. The Iran sanctions that led to the proliferation agreement are a good example. You can have sanctions and then you can enforce sanctions. And the dirty little secret with North Korea is that it has a very powerful sanctions regime that is routinely flaunted by countries all over the world, even allies, even members of the UN Security Council. And as with Iran, you can see that if the United States steps up and starts enforcing the sanctions and urging its allies and other actors to enforce the sanctions, it has an effect because eventually money runs out. There's only so much cash that this regime can create through its illegal schemes and its selling of coal in violation of sanctions. If you tighten up the sanctions, eventually it will have an impact in Pyongyang and they will say, wow, there's a price to what we're doing. But right now we're not there yet.
John Sifton is Asia Advocacy Director at Human Rights Watch. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.